God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. It's actually really good to see as many of you here as are here. With the ice and sleet and snow, I wasn't sure what we would have, and it's so nice to look out and see a good number of you made it through and safely. And we pray for all those who are out on the streets today trying to make everything safe for the rest of us. Now, you have heard it said that if a sermon goes longer than 20 minutes, you are not in an Episcopal church. Or if you are, that preacher likely won't last. But I say, what about Jesus? I mean, he's still preaching the Sermon on the Mount here. And we're already into it for a couple of weeks, a few long paragraphs. And it would appear he's just getting warmed up. He makes the Baptists look like Episcopalians by comparison. Because this sermon goes on for three solid chapters of Matthew. And believe it or not, we will hear a fourth week of it next Sunday. Apparently, Mary Magdalene, or the beloved disciple, did not slip him a little note with the word kiss on it. Keep it short, sweetie. I sure hope they had porta potties out there. And maybe a Keurig, like we have here for the 8 o'clock service, so you can get an occasional boost of caffeine. It is still there, I think, by the way, if you need some. Now, for those who like to-do lists, and I'm one, I mean, I love to-do lists. I make them all the time. And if I do something that wasn't on my to-do list, I put it on the to-do list just so I can check it off. I don't know if that resonates with any of you. Anyway, for to-do list makers, you might like the part of this sermon we hear today from Jesus and next week, because it seems Jesus is rattling off a list. A list of what to do or what not to do in the world. Sounds easy. Follow the list and all will be great between God and us, right? Well, if there's anything we've come to know about our fiercely radical Lord and Savior, is that he rarely makes what he says easy. There's always a subtext that's the powerful point he's trying to make, leaving the actual words for those in power to digest, while his followers hopefully get his real meaning. So sorry to disappoint any list makers out there, but Jesus in this part of his very long sermon isn't really talking about divorce. In fact, you might have noticed from the difference in the gospel book versus what's printed in your bulletin, the Episcopal Church also thought it best to drop that whole divorce thing. No, he wasn't talking about divorce or adultery, swearing, or cutting off your hand. So if you are divorced, for crying out loud, don't be worried about it. There's a larger truth being made, and Jesus, as I have pointed out before, would not ask you to be in a relationship that diminishes you or does not bring you and your spouse the fullness of joy in love. He is, as he is wont to do, making a much more powerful statement about what it means to be a child of God, and it isn't about following the rules, because as we all know, Jesus himself was a rule breaker. No, it isn't about following the rules or indulging in self-abusive behavior to punish yourself for whatever sin you may or may not commit. Jesus is telling us something much more profound and much more life-changing and much more challenging to boot. But let's step back a moment and look at the first reading from the book of Sirach, which is part of the Apocrypha we heard this morning. And it said, if you choose, you can keep the commandments, and to act faithfully is a matter of your own choice. God has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you choose. Before each person are life and death. Whichever one chooses will be given. The wisdom we hear in this book is that God gives us a choice of how to live. It's a choice that Jesus is talking about too. And it isn't a to-do or not to-do list, but a choice we must make if we're to live the life we're born to live. A choice between fire and water, between life and death. And Jesus is telling us something about how to choose, how to be in this world. That just abiding by the rules is not a life well lived. We're called to go deeper than that. And Jesus is saying that life is not about following the rules, but about being in relationship. Because as one commentator put it, it's not enough to just refrain from murder. We should also treat each other with respect. And that means not speaking hateful words. It's not enough to avoid physically committing adultery. We should also not objectify other persons by seeing them as a means to satisfy our physical desires by lusting after them. It is not enough to follow the letter of the law regarding divorce. We should not treat people as disposable and should make sure that even the most vulnerable in this culture, that often meant women and children, are provided for. And it's not enough to keep ourselves from swearing falsely or lying to others. We should speak and act truthfully in all our dealings so that we don't need to make oaths at all. You see, Jesus is talking about a way of living that not only nourishes our souls, but the lives of those we encounter too. And living as a people of God is living in relationship to one another. We cannot just think about our actions as being something inconsequential to the other, to God, acting as though we can move through life following rules and the laws of church and humanity, as if that was what we were born to do, because it's not. Sometimes we're even called to do the opposite. Now, this past Wednesday, I stood with over 100 of my clergy colleagues in Newark as we walked with Catalino Guerrero, a 60-year-old man and undocumented immigrant facing deportation. Catalino Guerrero has lived in the U.S. for 25 years. His children and grandchildren all live here. And Catalino was living here legally under a visa, but his lawyer filed for a visa renewal without Catalino's knowledge with a new request for refugee status. And that request was denied, which meant Catalino's previous visas were no longer in effect. He was ordered to self-deport. His family hired a lawyer and helped him get a stay of deportation, which expired after a year. In 2014, a network of advocacy groups and clergy helped him get his second stay by urging ICE, the federal agency charged with immigration and customs enforcement, to use the discretion afforded to them by law to give Catalino a reprieve. And during this stay of removal, Catalino has reported to ICE as required for meetings every 6 months. But suddenly, last week, Catalino received an order to report for an unscheduled ICE appointment on February 8th, even though he already had a six-month check-in scheduled for February 23rd. And Catalino's family was very concerned that this new appointment could turn into a deportation. And they were right to be concerned. And by that, it means that he would enter the building, it would not come back. And so I was there to pray for him and walk with him to the federal building, joining with our bishop and 100 other clergy. And as we marched around the block shouting, "Build community, not a wall," and singing, "We will not give up," out walked Catalino, free, for now. And he joined us at the press conference in front of Grace Episcopal Church next to the federal building, where leaders of faith communities from the Christian, Jewish, and Muslim traditions condemned the inhumanity of these actions and called all people of faith and all elected leaders to stand up and be counted. That's what Jesus is calling us to do now, to stand up and be counted. It isn't good enough for us to just follow the law. We must live as God intends. It isn't good enough for us to say we haven't done any harm ourselves. We must stand up for the rights of others not to be harmed and fight any institution or any individual who seeks to harm our brothers or our sisters or our earth. And Jesus is telling us to recognize that the law is limited because we're limited. But God's call is to live beyond the rules and break them where necessary, because there are just too many people who hide behind them to justify what is unjust. After the action on Wednesday, there was an article on NewJersey.com about it that's been posted on our church Facebook page, and the comments were vile, even cruel. One said to Catalino, "Bye, don't let the wall hit you on the way out," and that was a mild one. Others called the clergy immoral for protesting. Not to mention some on our Facebook page, one of which I had to delete, it was so hateful, and another didn't pass muster with the Facebook filters because it was filled with the F words and things that were so horrible I won't repeat them. These are the ones who are caught up in the human law and failed to see the child of God in their midst, and we should pray for them. You see, God has no national borders. People do. The man in Nogales, Mexico is as much a child of God as the man in Bloomfield. The woman in Dublin, Ireland is as much a child of God as the woman in Glen Ridge. The child in the orphanage in Bamenda, Cameroon is as much a child of God as the children in our Sunday school here at Christ Church. We sometimes just fail to see it that way. We think we're entitled to do or say whatever we want because it's our country, though I wonder how the Native Americans feel about that claim. I'm reminded of a story one pastor told about a childhood friend of his. Actually, the story reminds me and my brother a little bit. He said, my friend Frank was about 8 years old at the time when he started arguing with his sister. And before long, arguing turned to pushing and shoving, and soon enough, Frank had his younger sister pinned to the ground with his fist raised in the air. And at that moment, his mother came into the room and told him to stop it. In response, Frank, as he described, reared up as only an 8-year-old can and declared, fist still raised in the air, she's my sister and I can do anything I want with her. At this point, Frank's mom swooped across the room, towered over him, and said, she's my daughter, no you can't. I have a feeling Frank was grounded for a very long time. Well, think of the story this way. It's our country. We can do anything we want to anyone in our borders who violates our laws, to which God says, that is my child. No, you can't. Jesus doesn't say that laws are not important, and neither am I. But he does make it clear that we must move beyond them, to be rebellious as he was, when love for our brother or sister is on the line. We must do this because it is never acceptable to claim this faith but not live it out. Jesus is telling us that life is not about laws, but about love. He isn't calling for lawlessness, but a sort of trans-lawlessness in which our lives move beyond the boundaries of what is permitted to the larger call of love, respect, decency, and fairness. Alice Cooper, do y'all remember the rocker Alice Cooper? You know, school's out for... It's a guy, by the way, Alice. Anyway, Alice Cooper, he once said, drinking beer is easy. Trashing your hotel room is easy. But being a Christian, that's a tough call. That's rebellion. Gotta love Alice Cooper. Jesus, never thought I'd quote Alice Cooper in a sermon. I have to say that. Jesus is calling us to rebellion. No, not the wild beer-drinking, smashing-up stuff kind, but the kind that matters, the kind he did. The Sermon on the Mount isn't some heartwarming homily on keeping the law. What would be the point of that? I mean, they could hear that in the synagogue. Jesus was giving a sermon on the radical life we were born to live, to go beyond the law, to love and serve all of God's creation. This isn't about breaking a law just to trash a hotel room. This is about moving beyond the law to fight for justice, speak out for peace, and stand with our brother and sister on the margins. You know, today, the law says that a person crossing the human-made border of one country into another has committed a crime and must be deported. There is no denying that that is the law. But Jesus says we're called to move beyond that to compassion and respect. If he were preaching it today, I believe the Sermon on the Mount might sound like this. The law says, you must not enter another country without proper authority. But I say, treat all people with dignity. Do not drag those who cross your borders into courtrooms in large groups bound hand and foot in shackles. Do not, after living peacefully in the land for decades without harm to you, separate them from their children. Do not discard their children who know no other country but the one into which they were born. Do not do this under the cover that it is legal, for being legal does not make it just. Now, we only need to look back at the history of our country to know that that last part is true, don't we? And because something is written in the law that it is just. In this month in which we honor the history of the people of color, let us not forget that the struggle for freedom, justice, and equality, many laws had to be broken. It was against the law for whites and blacks to use the same facility, to be married, to share the same space. And people of faith took to the streets in protest, some dying in the process, because we are a people called to live beyond the laws of humanity. Next month is Women's History Month. It was against the law for a woman to vote. A man could force his wife to have sex within the bounds of the law, and women were prevented from even holding a credit card without the permission of her husband. People of faith rose up and fought. June is Gay Pride Month. It was against the law for a person to be gay. The police would imprison gay men and women. They were blackmailed, beaten, killed without legal recourse. People of faith broke free from the bonds of their own institution's heartless dogma to stand for the rights of all people to love freely. Jesus is cautioning us that it is far too easy to stand behind what is legal. We are called to a higher law, to love one another as he loved us. Love does not humiliate, harm, or destroy. Love does not bind others in chains of hate, bigotry, and fear. Love does not stand by while others are marginalized for where they were born, what they believe, the gender they claim, and who they love. Folks, we're in a dangerous time in this country and in the world. All over there are people trying to instill fear, bigotry, and hatred as a means to justify violence against our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, the ones we're called to love. And they will justify it all by saying it is within the bounds of the law. And it will be up to each of us to recognize the choice we're being lulled into making, to open our eyes to see the wolf in sheep's clothing offering us fire masked as water. And when we see it, when we see another human being treated as less than, ignored, abused, marginalized, to stand up and go beyond the law of the land to the law of God. We must do this, because any other way of living is not being a follower of Jesus. Alice Cooper was right. Again, you never thought you'd hear that from the pulpit, right? Alice Cooper was right. This Christianity, it isn't easy. It's a lifelong journey that requires a whole lot of courage. But thankfully, we're sustained by our faith, one another, and God's love. It doesn't mean we will succeed in every battle. Even in this effort to stand up for our brother Catalino, we have more to do. Because we were told that day, while he was allowed to return home last week, he must now return on March 10th, this time with his passport. And I will return with him. Now, this life in Christ isn't for the faint of heart. And we will face many challenges to live as we are being taught by him to live. Indeed, the crucifixion of Jesus shows us what can happen to those who speak truth to power in an age of empire. But the crucifixion also reminds us that life is stronger than death, light is stronger than darkness, and love will always, always defeat hate. We can choose to bind ourselves to the laws of humanity or the laws of God. Or put another way, before each person are life and death. Whichever one chooses will be given. Which do you choose? Law or love? Fire or water? Life or death? I implore you, choose wisely, because your life and the lives of so many of our brothers and sisters on this earth depend on it. Amen.